Let's talk about the seasons of a Christian's life. I think I'm on. Yes. And Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Psalms, Proverbs, and then Ecclesiastes. Chapter 3. Let's see. I'm going to ask... I'm going to ask somebody on the back row here. See, Dean, you moved all the way back there, but I'm going to get you to read. Real loud, would you read Ecclesiastes, Dean? Chapter 3 and verse 1, please. All right, to everything, there is a season. There are seasons. There's a time. To every purpose under the heaven. He goes on, he says, there's a time to be born, time to die. Time to plant. There's a season for planting. Now, I don't know those seasons. You give me a pack of seeds and I'll plant them and they'll all die. Because I'm not good at planting. I don't have a green thumb. I don't even have a brown thumb. But there's a time to plant and there's a time to pluck up that which is planted. So there are seasons and times. And really, we use the terms cycles and patterns of life, and it's something that we sort of forget about, that there are such things like seasons and patterns in life. Most of us just work almost nonstop. We're busy all the time. We're just switching from one situation to another situation, and there's no seasons in our life. Now, I've loved this, I think this year and maybe last year or the year before. There's only been two or three times when I've experienced seasons here in Ireland. You know, you go from spring and summer, and then the October wind comes in, and all the leaves are gone, and so it doesn't even change. But this year, you've noticed, there's been some yellows and reds. There's been some change in the season. All of a sudden, you realize it's autumn, and there are seasons in life. Most people ignore those cycles. They have no day of rest during their week. They have no time just with God. They have no regular sleeping habits. They have no job or season of work. They have no regular season of eating. They always eat just whenever they get hungry. Guaranteed, you will die of diabetes, heart attack, how many other diseases can I start to... If you don't have seasons when you eat and seasons when you don't eat. Don't just eat whenever you feel hungry. Or you want to be a balloon. This is our day and age. We don't have regular set times, which we call seasons. And so bodies wear out faster than they should. God made seasons. Go to Mark chapter 2 now. Baze. Mark chapter 2 and verse 27. This is a very powerful scripture. Mark chapter 2, if you'll do real loud. Chapter 2 and verse 27. God made seasons, made sets of time when we do things differently for us, not us for that, for them. Go ahead. Mark 2 and verse 27.
He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, and not for the Sabbath.
And not man for the Sabbath. So we're not subservient to the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a law just so that we can serve it. It was actually made for us. It's for our benefit to have a day where you do very little. Amen? And that ought to be Sunday. God made seasons for us. Now, he expects us to know about seasons, to understand them and work with them. You need to know your body goes through cycles, folks. Do you understand? We have a sleep cycle. We're supposed to have eating cycles. There are cycles that we go through and we're supposed to work with them, not fight against them. Because those cycles are what God uses to help us bear fruit. If you don't sleep, you're going to burn out. If you don't eat right, you're going to die early or your brain is going to be so jumbled up. If all you do is eat Kit Kats, you cannot expect to serve God. Do you understand? You're going to be hyper and then you're going to collapse. You've got to understand the cycles that God puts us through. And not all cycles are, I'm not talking about just eating cycles and rest cycles. There are some cycles, seasons that we're going to talk about that help us to bear fruit. Now, seasons. About this concept of seasons, first of all, let me say seasons are normal. When you go through a season, because everybody's at a different season, okay? Listen, women go through seasons that men never go through. Thank God. Come on, gentlemen. Raise your hands and praise God for a minute. There are seasons, but they are normal. That's how God designed things. Go to Genesis chapter 1. Mary Adele, real loud. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 14, please. Genesis 1 and 14. Firmament. Season. So God put some lights in the sky for seasons, didn't he? So that we'll know. So that it's winter, or that it's summer, or that it's spring, or that it's planting time. How many of you know about Stonehenge? Or Newgrange? Or these things. A lot of those things have religious significance, but they also were because sometimes, especially a long time ago, don't believe this thing about global warming, it's a cycle, but just understand this. A lot of times, they didn't know what day it was. They had no clocks. They didn't have a regular calendar, so they waited for the priest, their priest, to stand in the middle of some big set of stones to know, oh, today is the 21st of December, the beginning of the new year. And they would know, oh, 25 days till we can start planting again, or whatever. That was the beginning of a season. And God put those stars and the sun and the moon to show us when seasons changed, okay? So they're normal. 2 Kings chapter 4. Oh, let me get 2 Kings chapter 4, 16 and 17. Hannes, if you don't mind. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 16 and 17. Hmm. All right, so Hannes, how long is the time of life that Elisha was talking about? He says, about this time, according to the season of life, according to the time of life, what was he referring to? That she was going to hold a baby. How long was that time, he was saying? See, he's a guy, he doesn't know. That's why they didn't allow guys in the birthing room up until recently. 9 months. Amen. So according to the time of life, there was a season. It was normal to have a season where you're very uncomfortable, right? Eileen, and you're not uncomfortable at all. I mean, you have no problems at all. Just, and when you do, you just punch them and you feel better, right? It's your fault. Anyway, don't be ashamed. Let me just say this. Don't be ashamed about changing. All right? Don't be ashamed that you grow old. I love it. All right. I don't like the tiredness, but my wife says every once in a while she says you have too many gray hair. I'm just glad I have hair. Amen. Amen. Folks, there's some things to be thankful for. But don't be ashamed about changing. All right. It is normal to go through seasons, and seasons, and this is very important, seasons are about changes. Did you know the sun goes through a cycle every 11 years? It produces sometimes more and sometimes less radiation, and it affects the weather on Earth. It affects satellites and mobile phones. It goes through cycles. The human body is constantly changing. It's going through seasons of change. Did you know every 7 years, every cell in your body is replaced. Through that period of 7 years, every cell in your body, except your brains, those we lose, but every other cell in our body, every 7 years, is renewed, is replaced. Aren't you glad, or else you would die after 7 years, because cells just can't last that long. Every month, a woman's body goes through a cycle of change, and that's nothing to be ashamed of. That is normal. That is right. That is how God designed. Men have midlife crises. That's our big change, amen? Where we start to wonder, you know, am I a success or a failure? All of these things that approach guys, we go through cycles. Land. Did you know land needs change to it and needs rest? Take your Bible, turn to Ezekiel, Exodus chapter 23. Amanda, Exodus 23, verse 10 and 11. Exodus 23, verse 10 and 11. Okay, so he says, work the fields for 6 years, and then what? What should happen on the seventh year? Let it alone. Let the weeds grow, let everything, and if poor people want to come in there and grab whatever comes up, fine. Let the land rest, because it needs a change. It can't just be overworked, or else you deplete it from all the nutrients, and it's gone. It's not usable anymore. So you got to let it have a year of rest. God put it in his law. But it didn't stop there. People and animals need a cycle. Look at the next verse. El Marie, still in Exodus chapter 23, now verse 12.
6 days thou shalt do thy work, and on the seventh day thou shalt rest, and thy house and thy house may rest, and the sun of thy own light, and the sun of thy own light.
Wow. So it refreshes us. When we have that change, when we have that day where we do very little, we need weekly seasons, we need a break. Did you know Daniel 2 and verse 21 tests, if you don't mind? Daniel, the book of Daniel, you'll hit Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and then comes Daniel. Daniel chapter 2 and verse 21. And the point here is that even seasons change. I mean, when was the last time we had summer? 7 years ago, yeah. I think you're right. Daniel 2:21 test, please. All right. So this is, listen, God changes seasons sometimes. And I found out there are, back in 1816, there was a year where there was no summer. Because of two things. The sun had a lot of sunspots and was creating a lot of radiation. And secondly, because there was a bad volcano that put a lot of dust into the air. And it just stayed cold. And it snowed throughout the summer all over Europe. It was called the year without a summer. And a lot of people died. A lot of people, because they couldn't plant and they couldn't even grow oats or wheat for the cattle. And it was a very bad several years after that. So sometimes seasons change. And if you've read your Bible, I don't worry about man doing global warming. I'm worrying about God doing some global warming. Because the climate is going to change in the future. The Bible says the sun is going to get 7 times hotter than it's ever been. So that when people go outside into the sun, they will get boils. Like we say, 20 minutes. You go out for 2 minutes and you'll come in with skin cancer. The things that's coming up, that is all in the Bible. And it ought to just motivate us saying, we're so close. We are so close. Seasons themselves change. But this is good. Seasons are not forever. You know, aren't you glad that, you know, we're coming into winter. But there's only one good thing about winter, besides Christmas. The fact that it ends. Amen? There's only two good things about winter. I mean, when you come into October, don't you wish it was over? I mean, the long nights, There's just nothing good about it, except that it's not forever. So go to where did I tell you to go? Genesis 40 in verse 4. Let's see. Brother Eric, would you read that? Genesis 40 in verse 4. Okay, do you know what this is referring to, just without going into all of the background? Without me having to go into all the background. You try it.
This is where he interprets
the dream. Yes, that's right. But who's in prison?
Well, Joseph's in prison, isn't he?
Yes. And he's in there only for a season. Does Joseph know what's up ahead? Does he know that he's about to be called? That's 2 years, isn't it? And he feels left and abandoned because he's able to interpret the dreams of these two men, the butler and the baker. And they both get out. One of them loses his head and the other one gets put back in his place. But for the next 2 years, he's in the prison. But the good thing is, it was only for a season. Seasons are not forever. Go to Joshua chapter 24. Joshua chapter 24 in verse 7. Somebody once said their favorite portion of scripture was, "This too shall pass." It's not really a scripture, but the concept's there. Whatever comes does leave someday, amen? Joshua chapter 24, verse 7. Brother Jack, would you read that? Please, sir.
When they heard him to the Lord, the three dogs were between you and the Egyptians, and broke the sea upon them, and covered them, and your eyes have seen what I have done in Egypt. You dwelt in the wilderness a long season.
Wow. Now, how long, Brother Jack, had they been in the wilderness? Do you remember at that point? 40 years. But what's Joshua saying here now? It's over. We're here because at that point, they're in the promised land. And he's saying, it's a memory now. Amen? The season is past. And aren't you glad that there are times where you're in the season and you can remember, I've been through this before, I'll get through it again. Because it does end. So there's some good things about seasons. They are not forever. There's another thing about seasons. Some of them never come. This is very important. Acts chapter 24 now. Acts chapter 24. Allison, if you wouldn't mind reading, Acts 24, 25. Now start there. Let's see. Start 24. 24, 24, and 25. Those are the awfulest words. Guess what? He never called for him again. He had no more convenience. See, that was a key word. When I feel like it, when it's convenient, I'll talk to you again. You know, convenient seasons don't come. If you're waiting for a quiet time to read your Bible, it won't come. You have to make time to read your Bible. If you're waiting for a time when there's nothing to do on a Saturday so that you go soul winning, you'll never have a Saturday that you have nothing going on. You can't wait for a season to come. You're going to have to make it. You're going to have to just do it because it's right. Some seasons never come. And some people never get saved because they're waiting for it to just be right. Well, I want my mom there. Well, I don't want so-and-so to be there. Well, I want it to be... You better just get in, amen? Some seasons never come. Another thought. There are four things that should never be affected by the weather. Should never be affected by things changing or by popularity. The first one is found in Exodus chapter 18. Right judgment. Let's see Marcus, if you wouldn't mind. Exodus chapter 18. Right judgment.
And they judged the people that are people that had
Right, so this was a new legal system that Moses had set up with men who were respected. And the thing is, they were to judge at all seasons. They were to make decisions. They were supposed to make right decisions when it was easy or when it was hard, when it was popular or when it was unpopular. When decisions need to be made, especially in our government, they need to make them right decisions at all seasons. They should. You know what most politicians do? They only make the hard decisions at the beginning of their term, but towards the end, they leave it for the next term. And they won't be consistent whether it costs them their job or not. These guys were faithful in making decisions at all seasons. The second thing, have right preaching at all seasons. It doesn't matter whether people like you or whether people think that you're the bee's knees. You know, I have to just be honest with you. Sometimes somebody comes up and tells me, Pastor, that was the best message. I almost want to say, well, I see you next week. Because 1 week is almost an eternity for people. And then they don't show up again. You see, popularity comes and goes like the flavor of chewing gum. It fades and you just look for it and it's gone. Let's go to 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Brother Dennis, 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. Paul talking to Timothy and commanding him. I'm sorry, it should say 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 2. So what should never be affected by the season? Preaching. Preach the word when it's popular, when it's not popular. When it's in season. Isn't that a good sporting term? When things are in season? That's a good shopping term too. Oh, all of the fall fashions are in season. It's a biblical term. You know, I remember there are times when you can't buy sunglasses here. You notice that? Because they're out of season. That's really bothersome. It's like my eyes. I need something to protect them. But it's out of season. Well, preach. In season, out of season. Another one. Acts chapter 1. Marianne. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. Soul winning ought to be in season, out of season. It was the greatest thrill to watch Saturday morning as people came to go out soul winning for RU, and the heavens were lashing and coming down, and they kept coming, Tony, didn't they? And we had everybody sitting down there, and let's go! So out they went, and then they cleared up. That was sweet. In season, out of season, good weather, bad weather. Look at how soul winning should be all the time. Acts 1, 7 and 8, Marianne. All right. So wouldn't you like Marianne, and she's been coming out for 6 weeks or 2 months now, causing trouble. And wouldn't you like to go, I know this Saturday somebody's going to get saved. Wouldn't you like to know that you're going to be there when somebody gets saved? You want to know that day. But you don't know the times of the season. You don't know what's going to happen. So how often should you go soul winning? All the time. You don't know what's going to happen. So all you know is you need the power of God and you need the feet to go. You go in season and out of season. Soul winning. One more thought. Right living. Acts chapter 20, Sarah. Acts chapter 20 and verse 18. Bless you. God bless you again. But that's it. Acts 20 and verse 18. Wow. At all seasons, Paul said, you know the manner of life I've had with you when it was easy to be a Christian and when we got in trouble and got thrown in prison for being a Christian. The manner of life that I had, I lived consistently at all seasons. So right living should be when it's easy and when it's hard. One more scripture, Titus 2:12. Let's see, Jimmy. Titus 2:12. First and Second Timothy, then comes Titus and Philemon just before Hebrews. Titus chapter 2 and verse 12. Wow. Will it be easy to live soberly, righteously, and godly in the next world? Yes. That'll be easy, amen. But I'm supposed to live it now. You see that verse? That's a sneaky verse. At all seasons, I should live godly, amen. All right. When my family tolerates me and when they don't tolerate me. All right. If you can live in a tough home situation. So I'm actually going to finish with that. I'm going to give you just... that bit, actually, shall I do it? I'm going to give you a preview of what I want to teach you next week, because this is so cool. Because there are seven seasons that I kind of have summarized. There are lots of seasons, but they all fit in these seven categories that a Christian goes through. It starts with being a baby. Some of you are still there, all right? But as a baby Christian, you join what is called a cycle of the Christian life. And you're going to go through that life in a cycle. You just don't go through these steps and then boom, you're out of here. This is not a slingshot. The Lord's not going like this and then pew, you go to heaven. Sometimes it's like, and you're going around and around and around. Seasons can go through cycles repeating over and over and over. But it starts with being born again, amen? Then we're going to learn that there is a season of growth. And Christians, listen, every Christian ought to be striving to be in a season of growth. But you're not always going to be. Our first season we've got to find ourselves at, especially as you get saved, the Bible says, as newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the word that ye may grow. That's your first desire. I want to grow. Amen. After the season of growing, there's a season of waiting. It's like a little kid. It's like Sarah. It's not a little kid anymore, but it's like Sarah saying, can I drive? No, you have to wait. Can I drink coffee? No, you have to wait. there is a season of waiting that every Christian, sometimes you feel like you're on the shelf and you haven't done anything wrong, but nothing's happening in your life. Actually, something is. Things are being invested in your life. God is investing and nurturing you and helping you grow to a place where after that, you start to produce fruit. All of a sudden, there's fruit in your life. All of a sudden, there's all this investment. You've tried to soul win. You've been faithful in witnessing. And then, boom, boom, boom. People get saved and you go, this must be that season of fruitfulness now. That is what every Christian should yearn for. But you're not always going to be there. The Bible says in Psalm 1, it says, talking about the blessed man, who bringeth forth his fruit in his season. There is a season. Kevin goes through seasons of fruitfulness. I go through seasons of fruitfulness. I go through seasons of growth. I also go through seasons where I just wait. I'm like, God, what's happening? But he knows. There's also the season of, get up here, keep going. There's also the season of harvest. It's no good having fruit and it not going anywhere. You know what season of harvest is? Somebody taking advantage of you. As I said on Wednesday night, you have this cluster of grapes. What good are grapes if nobody's taking them and eating them? And you'll end up empty again. But that's the purpose of fruit, is to be harvested. And you wonder, why? I'm just getting grown up. And I'm just learning and maturing. And now the rug's pulled out from under me. No, somebody needed your fruit. And they needed to see whether you're going to stay faithful and whether you're going to stay praising and whether you're going to have joy, love, joy, peace, long-suffering when the rug was pulled out from under you. You see, that is the harvest. We want the harvest to be a fun time. No, no, no. It's no fun for the branch. Amen? Amen? There's a season of harvesting. It's also a season of pruning. And unfortunately, most of us are there. Most of us have dead things in our life. The Lord's trying to get out, and we're like, no, I don't want it to go. But it's pruning. It's also a time of defeat and loss. This is the hardest. This is the time when you grow older, and you can't get up and feed yourself anymore. You can't even go to the bathroom anymore. You can't. There's a time of defeat. You feel like, what good am I? And let me tell you, that is not for you to decide, because us young kids, I'm glad I can say that right now, us young kids need to see faithfulness to finish the course with joy. I mean, you haven't finished your course until you cross the finish line, amen? And it may be you're crossing the finish line with a bedpan, but you're going to cross, amen? And I want that. I want to learn that in times where there's defeat in my life and loss, that it is just a season that I'm going through. Ecclesiastes says it's a long march home, but it's okay, because you'll get home, amen? I'm just telling you, this stuff, that's why I want to give you a taste for it. Next week, it's going to be awesome. Then there is also a time of rest. There's a season where you just do nothing, and you're still spiritual. Why aren't you praying, Pastor Ledbetter? How come you're not fasting? I'm resting. I sleep. Sometimes I just sit and I look at the paint, and I'm happy, amen? Because you need to rest, amen? You need that season of rest. It's different than the season of waiting. And then one more. You'll find yourself growing again. Every tree has to rest before it produces another bunch of fruit. And most of us are trying to produce fruit, and it's not coming out. You need to have some rest. Enter into God's rest so that just naturally, supernaturally, the fruit appears. And you start to grow again, and you go through the cycles again. But one day, there's a break in the cycle, and we go into perfection. We're leaving this world behind. Amen. Goodbye, world, goodbye. And there'll be no more seasons. There won't even be night there. Amen. For the Lamb is the light. So, have I got your appetite? Stay tuned. Don't touch that dial. Let's stand. Let's bow in prayer.